I'm Paige Albiniak, editorial director of Promax BDA, and this is the Daily Brief Podcast. Today, our friend Kareem Taylor chats with Diana Dixon. She is founder and executive creative director of Dixon, about what led her to create her own agency, sort of by accident, how she advanced from working as a one-woman shop in her living room to a bona fide company with staff, and what sorts of things up-and-comers should do to break into the business. Let's listen in on Kareem's talk with Diana.
This is Kareem Taylor, and I'm here with Diana Dixon, who is the founder and executive creative director of Dixon. They do everything from creative direction to strategy, design, writing, editorial, production, both field and studio, pitches and decks and print. And I guess my first question after listing all of that is, how do you have time to sleep?
I don't very often.
Honest.
But luckily, every once in a while, I do get some Z's in. But yeah, we are pretty busy over here at Dixon. But luckily, I've got a great crew that works with me as well, so that helps.
Awesome. And so you're the founder, executive creative director. How did you get this job?
Gosh, well, I started the company, so that's how I got that title.
Right.
But originally, I came from the client side and worked actually back in the day. I started off in production at Wisconsin Public Television at WHA and ended up going into my last year of college. They had an opening in their promotions department, which I didn't even know what promotions was at that time and, you know, didn't even really know what that was. And then that parlayed me into going to work for Star Movie Networks in their promotional department and then went to Discovery. And then ended up going to the vendor side for DZN Design Group. And then when that closed, I ended up starting my own company by accident. And here I am.
That is amazing to found a company by accident. What was that like? I mean, 2009, you were in your last role right before you founded the company. What was going on at that particular time?
Well, what happened was I was already starting to work for DZN for that last year in 2008. And in December of 2008, we found out that TZN was no longer going to exist. It was bought out by a grandparent company that was focused on our parent company that did consumer marketing and packaging. And they didn't really understand what broadcast was and what we did. And even though we had a great year and won a lot of awards, that really wasn't on their radar for what they were looking for. So for us, for my company, I ended up, originally it was little old dis me, when I say us.
Right.
It started with me in my living room. My client, who used to be a coworker of mine at Discovery, had called and said, "Hey, I have great news. I have a project for you." And I said, "Well, good news and bad news. DZN is closing, but hey, I've got some availability if you need some help on anything." And she said, "Well, why don't you just do it yourself?" And that's how I started the company. I had a project before I had a company or a name and went from there. So I ended up working one project at a time, and it turned into a company that just kept growing and growing, and went from working in, you know, my pajamas in my living room to having a bona fide company and staff.
That is amazing. I mean, it sounds like the underdog startup story.
It really was. I had no backing. It was just myself that started this company and worked project to project. I never had anybody give me money to start a company. It was just working from one project to the next and just keeping on investing back into the company to help it grow. And it really was just based on having a passion to keep doing what I was doing and a dream to keep doing it. And it just went from there. And I'm really fortunate because I get to work with lots of wonderful people. I have great clients that are my friends as well that I get to continue to work with. And then the team that I cultivated is a wonderful team that are also, I consider my friends, that we get to work on great projects together. And it's really the best of, you know, both worlds.
It's an amazing story. I mean, but so you've got Dixon now. And then, of course, you mentioned that you've worked at a bunch of different high caliber TV networks. And so was your first job out of college at Starz?
Yes. While I was in college, I was still working at WHA in Wisconsin. And that's where I had found out about promotions, which I didn't even really knew existed. I was going to grow up and become a movie director. That was my big dream. I didn't even know about this little thing called on-air promotions. And then that led me into working in the promotional department at Starz in Denver, which was a really wonderful experience because you get to not just, the one thing I love about promotions is that it's not like you're one person in the cog of a huge project. When I'm writing and producing a project in promotions, I'm seeing it, the idea from start to completion. So I'm coming up with the idea and writing it. And then that's like the shoot, I get to direct it as well. I get to go post it and work with the editors and see it all the way through. So it really is a project that you can feel like you can take ownership of instead of just being that one little cog in the wheel versus if I was working in the movie industry. You have that one little job, but with promotions, I feel like that idea really, you do get to see it come to life right under your whole purview, which is great.
And so you, so it was WHA?
Yeah, Wisconsin Public Television.
Nice.
And it was in Madison, Wisconsin, while I was going to school there. Mm-hmm.
How'd you, I mean, and because it's very rare, as at least I've talked to so many people, dozens and dozens of people who just kind of found out about promotion and marketing. So they kind of didn't really understand what it was. And it sounds like you kind of had the in a little bit. You was like, this is kind of interesting to me. Let me try to, let me pursue this even further.
Yeah, it was interesting because I didn't know what it was until my last year of college when they had an opening. And I was already working in their production department at Wisconsin Public Television, working in sports and working on their TV shows and doing camera work and things like that and assistant directing. But I didn't really know about this world and promotions. And then for me, when I found it, it was like a light went off that this was something that I, as a creator, could see something through from start to finish instead of being just a camera person or just, you know, just the assistant director on something. For me, it was, I could see an idea come to life. I could concept it and then see it come to fruition. So for me, that was a big light bulb that went off for me. That was an amazing, there's something to this that I need to keep exploring. So, and I love it too, because it is an art that I get to see, you know, this idea and art that I bring to life. But I also love the challenge of the commerce of it, because now with what we do in our world, it's not just your idea that you're bringing to life. You're also bringing to, you have to solve a problem for your client who needs, you know, you to bring that art and this challenge together and solve it. So whether that's tying in an advertiser to a show or whatever, it's not just make a great promo to make a great promo, but it has to be on brand. You have to make sure you're having a message that at the end of the day reaches the consumer. And you meet that challenge. So it's interesting for me because it's not just make something cool, but you have to solve something right at the same time.
So you were a writer, producer. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I mean, it's not just like making something that looks great. It's just like, does that make sense even strategy wise? It's kind of amazing insights, I think, to kind of bring that to the table. And did you know this when you were first starting? I mean, when you were at Starz? I mean, was that a lot of your education and then kind of going through some of the networks? How did you start getting that education of saying like, hey, this is, you know, promos aren't just this, they are this, that, in the third kind of thing?
I think every place I've worked, I kind of learned something different, which was great and helped add to my creative basket, so to speak. At Starz, I felt like it was a great place for me to have creative freedom. There were lots of great mentors I had along the way. They had a really great structure for being an entry-level producer. They had other higher level producers that were built like a built-in mentoring system, which I think was really, really helpful. And I try to strongly encourage that with my company too, that everyone gets mentored along the way. For me, I ended up just feeling that they gave us a lot of creative freedom there and the opportunity to take chances, which I really liked. And when I went to Discovery, I felt like that was more like getting my MBA in marketing, because I felt like that's where I really learned more about the strategy behind things and understanding how it's not just make a cool promo, but why you're making it that way and what your objective is at the end of the day. So for me, that was a good experience to compare to, because both were very invaluable to my career and where I ended up going creatively, and I kept learning along the way. And even when I went to DZN, that was going from being on the client side to the vendor side. And for me, that was another great opportunity to learn a different perspective, because you're looking at it from a different lens for the other way. So I think the more experience you get in your career, the more places you work, the better, because you're getting a chance to learn something new and different from a different lens and perspective that you didn't have before.
Right. You spoke of mentorship a little bit. And did you you had mentors at Starz, and was that sort of a big thing for you? And who was this mentor, and you know, what did they do right? What did they say? What did they do?
There were many mentors, which is what I really enjoyed. I think throughout my career I've had lots of different mentors. I think the thing that they do right along the way is just taking the time to be present and available and to answer questions and to guide. I think it's really important to, for me especially, I try to take that time. I think it's really important to help young people who are curious and want to learn. I'm more than happy to take that time and help along the way, because other people did the same for me. I think there's even things for mentors where you learn what to do and you also learn what not to do.
Yikes.
You know, sometimes I've had great mentors who have taught me what not to do along the way.
What's one of those things? What should we avoid?
think it's a very personal thing for each person. But for me, I've had mentors who I learn creatively from, and I also learn for myself to be authentic. I've had mentors who wanted me to be more like them, and maybe they were more like a yeller or a screamer type to get things done. And that just isn't me. I feel like you have to be authentic to who you are. And for me, being nice and kind is way more important. And for me to be authentic to myself, I'm not going to be the yeller and screamer to get my way or to get what I want from a vendor or from an employee, right? So for me, you have to be authentic to who you are and be true to who you are.
A lot of companies are trying to grapple with mentorship and how to bake that in to the company for all different kinds of reasons. And so it seems like you've baked that into your company simply because you've experienced what it's like. And so what do you think are some of those, I guess, tenets of just great mentorship from an entrepreneur's perspective, imparting wisdom onto someone else?
Yeah, you have to find what people's passions are and help develop that. So I always ask people when they want to come work with me, like, you know, what's your passion? You know, what's your path to happiness and how can I help you get there? Like, what are you interested in? What are the things that, you know, make you tick, that make you get excited to get out of bed in the morning, right? What gets you going? So for me, I always love to give opportunities, whether it be that someone's really passionate about writing, which I'm a writer producer. So that's something that I definitely feel strongly about mentoring in. But, you know, sometimes people come to me and they're like, well, I have a background in photography and I'd love to develop that within your company. People are more interested in editing. And even though they might be a project manager, they're like, hey, I actually want to take some editing classes. So for me, it's you help foster where someone's passion is and then the rest will follow. You want to definitely not shut someone down and put them into a category. In a small company, we wear many different hats. We have lots of different things we need to accomplish. So for me, that's really important that we keep fostering people's passions and let them grow and try different things. You know, you don't want to box people in to here's your job description only,
right?
Especially in a small company, because you have a lot you have to accomplish in a small amount of time. You need all hands on deck.
Right. And are there some people who have no idea what they want to do? They're like, I'm good at this, and this. Can you help me figure out which one of these are my biggest strength or, you know, the thing that I should be doing?
Yeah. And that's the thing is sometimes you don't have to pick one thing. You know, sometimes you can be a jack of all trades, especially in today's current arena. Like you used to be where you were either a producer or an editor. And now we have predators, right? So where people produce and edit. So I think there's a whole new world order where you can be a jack of all trades and do different things. And that's actually desirable so that you can understand how it works. But I feel like when it comes to mentoring, you just find what you're passionate. I try to pull out what people are passionate about and let them just gravitate towards that because it will follow, right? It's like a breadcrumb to follow and see where it leads.
Right. I love the whole idea of a path to happiness. Now that's like something I can rally behind.
That's actually, I ask everyone who comes to work with me or talks to me, you know, people who don't even end up working with me, but I end up mentoring along the way. I always ask them, what's your path to happiness and how can I help you get there? That's a real passion of mine because, you know, when you help people find their path to happiness, I feel like it helps make the world a better place. So I don't need to get anything in return from helping people. For me, that's my own happiness that I gain from helping others because, you know, when you help someone else find their happiness and their bliss, it just makes the world better.
Right. And so you were in University of Wisconsin-Madison, and then you made the move to Denver. And then how did you actually end up in Los Angeles, Hollywood?
Yeah. So I went to work from Denver to Washington, D.C. at Discovery. And when I was at Discovery, I was working, well, actually, you might recognize this name, Steve Kasanjian was a vendor who was at DZN Design Group. So I was his client, and I went from client to vendor in the same project for Miss America for TLC because I just wanted to play. I just always had that dream. I used to, you know, go out on my pier in Podunk, Wisconsin, and dream about living where it was sunny someday because I grew up in the cold winter snow, Wisconsin. And ended up, you know, always having this dream, someday I'm going to live in Los Angeles and it's sunny and warm and beautiful. Well, it took me a while to get there. I kept going, you know, from one place that was getting warmer and warmer each time, Wisconsin to Denver to D.C., and then finally made it to Los Angeles and kept working on the same project for Miss America and moved across country in the middle of winter, but finally made it to L.A., and then the rest follows from that. But I have to admit that the dream started when I was young and dealing with harsh Wisconsin winters that someday I was going to be. There was right. No snow.
You're living the dream right now. I mean, like literally no snow unless you go to the mountains or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. But and that's, you know, going back to that, you know, dreaming on that pier, like that's when I knew from a young age that I wanted to work in television and film. And I would go on that pier, not just dreaming of, you know, warm, sunny California, but, you know, I would really start to envision my future. And I knew I, at the time, I didn't know about on-air promotions, but I wanted to work in television and film. I really loved the idea of telling stories. When I was younger, I used to write plays in school and was really into performing and acting. And I just loved this idea of telling stories and sharing this kind of idea with the world. So I didn't really know, again, about, you know, the existence of on-air promotions, but I had this idea of telling stories and reaching people. And that was, you know, those dreams that I started to envision at a young age and then ended up just putting one foot forward in front of the other. Like, I didn't know how my career was going to turn out, but I just knew that I had to follow it. I had to go somewhere with this. And that goes back to, you know, also, I'm from a small town where this wasn't really something that people did. You could go work at the plant and you could go work at GM at the plant. But, you know, this idea that you want to be a movie director or work in television and film, this is crazy. This isn't something that you would do. So it was almost like I was dreaming the impossible for where I'm from in a small town. But I just knew I had to follow this dream, this passion. That was my path to happiness, right? That I needed to pursue this. And even though I graduated first in my class and had a scholarship to Madison, my family was like, well, my mom especially, you need a bread and butter job. You need to be like a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer. It was whole like majoring in communication arts and journalism and wanting to work in television and film. We don't understand that. So for me, my biggest advice is follow your dreams and follow your passion and don't let other people tell you no. Because if you really want to do something, you know, you will find a way. So I didn't know, again, you know, how my career would exactly turn out, but I just knew that I needed to follow it and follow that dream and not letting other people no's turn my yes into a no.
Right. It's one of those.
No, go ahead.
I was saying it's one of those things where it's you really have to have one of those real strong visions. You really have to just see it in your own head because it's, you know, most people really don't understand, you know, what this kind of career could be or what the path could be. So
exactly. And I think my advice is too, you don't have to have all the answers. You just have to be driven in the direction. You don't have to know exactly what you're going to do because there are so many options, right? Just start working in it and the rest will follow. Like maybe you'll discover a strength or maybe you'll start doing something. You're like, oh, I don't like this so much, but I like this other aspect. You know, if you're passionate and you're in the right realm, you'll figure it out. You don't have to have the final answer. It's not going to be like, I'm going to be, you know, a technical director or a creative director. You don't always know until you just get started.
Right. Just kind of get started. And I guess like last night I was reading this article from Quartz and it was talking about some of the highest growing fields. I think there's going to be like 3.8 million home health aid jobs. And so if you're a parent and someone comes in to tell you, I want to be a graphic designer. And they're like, wait, no, did you look at this list of the jobs that are actually available? And so it's kind of interesting that, you know, you really have to really kind of start in the business and then start to understand what the opportunities are. Because if you just read, you know, highest growing fields or, you know, where the jobs are and things like that from a career perspective, you know, graphic designer, creative director, art director, writer, producer, these things aren't on these lists. So you really do have to have that kind of insight to a career. But I guess what I would ask from you, since you started in the local area, what can people getting into the business now kind of do to get experience and education with the tools that are available to them today? Should they start in the same way that you have in terms of local stations, kind of being able to understand the process, or do they use the tools that are available to them today, or do they use both, or what do they do?
Yeah, I would say look around and see what's around you and what is available. And for me, Wisconsin Public Television was in my backyard at school, right? So I had that availability where it was close by, and there was an opening, and I didn't know anybody there. I just applied. But then, you know, other parts of my career, I ended up getting to know people, and that helped open the doors. What I knew got me through the door, but who I knew got me to the door. But I didn't know anybody at Wisconsin Public Television. I just said, I want to do this. And, you know, it seems like a great way to get experience while I'm going to school. And it seems better than working in a restaurant versus, you know, doing something that's not related to my field. So for me, just while you're in school, start getting as much experience as you can that's in the field you want to be in. And it's looking to see what's around you, whether it be an advertising agency or, you know, a local network or a magazine where you can learn writing, just something that pertains to creative field that you want to be in. Look around to see what's available nearby where you're going to school. And a lot of that can still be applicable. It's not that there's one way to get to where you want to be, right? There's many ways to get there, but you want to just keep cultivating the creative mind, right? So,
right.
And getting experience to do that. So whether it's local TV, news, magazines, anything like that, that could end up being an opportunity. And a company that has a PR department that they need help with, like anything we can intern and get experience is important. Any experience is important. It doesn't have to be specific to exactly what you're going to do when you graduate.
Right. And so with the education from before and your career experience, how today do you continue learning and improving your craft? But then also, you know, being an entrepreneur, a business owner, powerful business owner, how do you, improve yourself now?
Oh, that's a really good question. I feel like you should always be learning. You should never feel like you know it all. I feel like even when I was, I kind of joke that even when I graduated college and went to go work at Starz, I kept taking classes because right. I felt like I just wanted to keep learning all the time. I was always, you know, always trying to figure out the next steps so that you're always having input, right? Because our industry is always changing. So even I, as the owner of a company, I don't feel like I know every single thing. So you have to always keep updating yourself, always keep adapting and assimilating. It's the whole new world order every time you turn around. So you have to keep updating. I think Promax BDA is a wonderful organization that helps with that because you're keeping abreast of what's going on in the industry through their conference every year, but also through their events throughout the year. You're also staying updated and educated, which is really important. But always taking classes, even not being afraid to Google, right? Sometimes we forget how powerful the Google buttons can be if you don't know something. Just Google it. You'll figure it out. Ask around. If I don't know something, I'll even look to people. I still have mentors to this day. I'll ask people, you know, hey, I'm dealing with this problem over here, XYZ. How do I, you know, what's your advice in that? You know, what's your experience in that? There's always something new that's going to come around the corner that you don't know the answer to. And instead of, you know, worrying about it, you just figure it out, you know, one step at a time, but always keep learning. That's my biggest advice, I would say. Never feel like you know it all. Always keep learning because the industry is always changing. And you just always want to keep your mind, you know, searching for you know, bigger and better things. You know, you want more, you know, more ideas to come. You have to refill that creative basket. So you need to expose yourself to different things. And learning can be technical things like learning to edit or to color correct or do audio or things like that are technical. But there's also just keeping that creative basket filled by maybe it's going to a museum, maybe it's going to a concert. You just always have to expose yourself to different things that are outside of your normal everyday realm so that you can have that input to help your mind grow.
It sounds like when you bring on talent, you take a chance to probably really get to know them, I guess, personality wise. What are some of those things that, you know, if you're looking for a designer or bringing in a writer or someone, some talent, what is it that you're looking for? What kind of gets your attention?
Yeah, you know, having talent is important, but it's not the only thing that's important. I feel like for me, I'm always looking for people that can come in. We call our company, it's not a place that's just like a job. It's like it's a family, right? We create a family type environment where we're all in the trenches working together and can have long hours sometimes. But you want to have people that when you're in the trenches, you're it's creating a positive work environment. So I'm always looking for people who have a positive attitude, are passionate about what they do, can work well with others, and are always inspired. You know, they're always looking, you know, beyond themselves for more inspiration, not being afraid to participate, right? Mm-hmm. Who can take thought action and leadership actions, who are self-motivated, you know, not just someone who takes direction, but can be inspired to take, you know, to create that direction on their own. So not just someone who will be a doer, but also a thinker.
Right. And it sounds like, so when people actually want to come work for you, they probably need to look at your career path, because you've won an Emmy. And I have to ask, how'd you do it? What's the secret?
I wish I could say there was a special formula for it. It was when I was working at Discovery, and it was a DC market Emmy, but it was for promo I did for Survivor Man when we launched it. I will say that I was super busy working at Science Channel, part of the Discovery family at that time, and I was probably working 16-hour days. And I remember when I wrote that promo, I was under a deadline writing a bunch of other stuff at the same time, and I remember I had to come up with something for it. And I went to bed, and I woke up all of a sudden around 4 a.m. and wrote that promo, because I had the idea came to me. And then I ended up writing it and getting it off my plate, and then I could go back to bed and get a good night's sleep.
Right. Wow.
So some of my best ideas that I've won awards actually do come to me when I'm either getting ready to sleep, or it'll wake me up in the middle of the night, or, you know, set true ad age. It could be while you're in the shower or driving your car. You know, you have to be open and have that pen and paper or voice recorder handy for when those ideas come, because you sometimes when you least expect it and when you're in a relaxed state is when the brilliant idea comes to the forefront. So for me, that was one of those formulas where I was asleep and it kind of just came to me, and I had to just wake up and write it and get it done. And then we probably worked on that. We had less than a week to get it done and edit and out the door, and we had no budget. So when everyone says you must have a big budget to get it done and to win an award, no, you don't need a big budget. You just need a good idea.
That is fantastic insight. And I mean, at least it teaches us to always keep your phone and your notepad next to your bed, even though they tell you not to. You should.
Yeah, you should, because that's when those ideas hit. I mean, I don't even tell you how many ideas I've had that have won awards that I've had in the middle of the night. So, I mean, you should have it near your bed. Even if it's just a pen and paper, you can write it down and not have the electrical device next to you if you're worried about that interfering with your sleep. But sometimes, you know, you just, sometimes I think I am brilliant, by the way, in the middle of the night, and then I wake up and I read what I wrote and it wasn't that great. But
there's always a winner.
Exactly. Sometimes you do have the brilliant idea, and sometimes you wake up in the morning like, well, maybe it wasn't as brilliant as I thought at 3 a.m. when I thought I had to write that down for whatever reason. But, it, you know, it's A for effort sometimes. And that sometimes inspires another idea that is the right idea. I think for me, you know, one thing I did want to talk about too before I forget is this idea of, for me, when people ask me advice about, when I am mentoring people about how to do a great promo and what's that secret sauce, I would say, for me, I always look at a project and try to give it honor. When I get a project assigned to me, I look at it and I try to become one with it and try to do the best I can by it. So I like to really like take in all the information, do all the research I can about it, make sure my strategy is on point to help that creative come to life. So I really like get down into it and become one with it and really think about it as this entity that I have to honor and bring to life. Sometimes people, you know, just try to get it done quickly and they'll just be like, oh, I'm just going to write this, you know, write something quickly and just boom and bang it out and on to the next. For me, it's really important that no matter how big or small the project is, that I still give it honor and try to do the best by it that I can. So yes, we always are under deadlines and have to get things done quickly, but when we're doing it, just what can I do to make sure I bring it to life the best way possible, so that I give it its honor and its due? And I think that's important. I think sometimes we lose sight of that when we're in this fast-paced industry, you know, just trying to get things done and on to the next.
Right.
But I think that's one of my biggest pieces of advice is become one with it and really honor it and really make sure when you're bringing it to life, you do it the best way possible and kind of give it that due that's its own little living entity, if that makes sense. because sometimes we're just in such a hurry to like knock it off our list. And I'd rather make sure that we're doing the best we can by it each time we start that creative endeavor.
And maybe you can't tell me this. Maybe it's a trade secret. Maybe we shouldn't know this. But how do you approach that? How do you do that? Get that that sort of approach it with that sort of honesty, given its honest chance to be something or to be what it's capable of being.
I call it becoming one with it.
Becoming one with it.
Where you really, you take in all the information and you really understand it. So, it's not just the cool creative, but okay, here's the marketing objective. Here's all the information we know. Here's the target audience. Here's, the objectives at the end of the day that we're trying to reach. But then, taking the research and information, like I often will Google something before I start writing for it, so I really understand it. And it's not just, here's the assignment. And I do as much research around it that I can. And then I like to do I call a brain dump, where I'll write down as many things I can as possible about that, especially when it comes to being a writer. Sometimes there's different sayings or things like that are related to a topic that are colloquialisms as well, or things like that can be incorporated. So I kind of do all the good and the bad writing all in that brain dump before I start writing the real script. So you can have all sorts of different words that come to mind, or sayings or phrases that you would put into this brain dump. And then I just kind of get down, I call it like you just get down into it and you have that quiet space to really, really connect with it, so that when you do write it, it kind of arises itself. That makes sense.
Right.
Because you've already become so close to it. You're in a quiet space becoming one with it, that you can actually visualize the idea and see it come to life. And when I visualize the idea, it's not just the writing, but I'm thinking visually what's going on. I'm thinking about what kind of music could be coming together. So it's not just taking two columns and writing things down and filling in the blanks. You're actually seeing it come to life in front of you as you envision it, right? So it's not just plugging in. You're actually creating it and bringing it to life in your vision first. And then you write down that vision into the video and audio columns.
Right.
Getting too esoteric here, but
no, it's real.
Really,
I think it's all about ideas, right? I mean, people, if you're a writer, you definitely need to figure out what your process is. And sometimes when you do that brain dump, at least you can see everything for what it is, instead of trying to remember it in your brain, so you just have the opportunity to kind of look at all the facts, basically all the tools that you have to work.
Right. And every project is different. There is no, this is the only way to do it. Sometimes it's a great piece of music that inspires you. Sometimes it is the words. Sometimes the visuals, and you have to just see what rises to the forefront and then gravitate towards that, because there's no right or wrong answer when it comes to creativity. There's meeting objectives and staying on strategy and staying on point, but when it comes to creative, there's many different ways to approach something, and like I said, there's no right or wrong answer. You just have to start somewhere and then the rest will follow. Start with whatever's inspiring you, and the idea and the nugget will come to life from that. It could be something simple. It could be a word. It could be one shot. It could be a sound effect, that inspires you. And then the idea forms around that.
Is there something that people can do now in order to move their career forward, whether it be making something make an amazing piece of work or moving up in their career? Is there something that they can do now from your perspective that can help accelerate that?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. I think depending on every case by case is going to be different, but I feel like get out there, network, get to know people, ask questions, get mentors. Yes, work on great work, volunteer for great work, even if you're not getting a chance through your own company, your own work, or your own school. Like, volunteer, try to get on great projects that inspire you, that mean something to you. And don't be afraid to connect with other people, because this really is about relationships that you're building in your career that will help open other doors for your, whether it be immediately or 20 years from now. Knowing other great people, and that's your resource right there, is people who will be there to help mentor, help lead to opportunities. And I always say, never burn a bridge, because you the person who's getting you coffee today could be your boss tomorrow. And never take that for granted, but people are wonderful resources and can be great cheerleaders along the way and open up opportunities that you would never expect. So don't be afraid to network and get out there.
Well, Diana Dixon, founder, executive creative director of Dixon, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Paige Albiniak is editorial director of Promax BDA. LaFern Cusack is executive producer of the Daily Brief podcast and senior producer at Promax BDA. Video helper provided the music. Digital producer Kate LaKire-Marion and social media coordinator Kristen Craik contribute to Daily Brief. Follow Paige on Twitter at Paige A, follow LaFern at LaFern Cusack, follow Promax BDA at Promax BDA. You can reach out to us at dailybrief@promaxbda.org. Subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.